Our Easter sermon text comes from the book of Psalms. Would you turn to Psalm 23 with me this morning? Psalm 23 might be the most read, most known psalm, and it is the jewel of the Psalter. And I think it is a perfect Easter text. And so would you turn your attention to Psalm 23? I'm going to read the whole psalm starting in verse 1. This is the word of our God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we desire to meet with you this morning. What is life if we don't meet with you? What is life if we never hear from you? What is life if we never see you in your glory as our Savior? Oh, our heart's longing is to encounter you. And we know you are in the Word speaking. And so would you be pleased to speak to us this morning? We are your people, and we are listening for your voice. Lord Jesus, come and minister to us. Amen. Well, I want to speak to you this morning on Easter Sunday about Jesus. The Easter resurrection tells us great news. Jesus is not dead. He is alive. On the third day, he rose again, and we find this incredible news. In the middle of history, a man was raised from the dead. I mean, we see it in the Gospels. Here is Jesus. He is walking and talking and even eating with his disciples after the resurrection. He is alive. Who has ever heard of such news? Who can fathom it in their minds? It overturns, it subdues the laws of nature as we know them. And the truth that Easter resurrection tells us about Jesus doesn't stop there. Easter is this event that just keeps reaching for more and more. This Jesus who is raised from the dead is now both Lord and Christ. He is now, to speak with superlatives, which is how we should speak of Jesus, the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is highly exalted, and he now has in his firm possession the name that is above every name, and he will have that name forever. He is now the Lord of life. He is the firstborn from the dead. He is the eternal King, and he is the one who has the keys to death and Hades. And I want to this morning speak to you about this Jesus who is raised from the dead. And I have a very simple question for you this morning to consider. What happens to you if you meet this Jesus who is raised from the dead? I mean, if you meet him, what happens to you? If you encounter him in the way of your life, or to probably say it better, if he encounters you with all of his grace and mercy, what happens to you? I mean, how do you change if you meet this living Lord? What does it do to you? How do you speak after you meet such a king? What would you say? Well, if you look at your Bible this morning, we have before us the testimony of a man who encountered the Lord. This man's name is David, and he was, in the history of God's people, the greatest king. And I could take much time this morning telling you of the exploits and the adventures of this great king, for he had so many. But the matter I want to point out to you this morning about King David is this. David was a man who routinely encountered the Lord. If you had to make a list of people who knew the Lord well through encountering him, you would have to put David probably top 10 in your list, maybe even top 5. He's that kind of man. David met with the Lord. He had a heart for the Lord. He was known for his heart for the Lord. He loved the Lord, his God. And we can ask, as we look into Psalm 23, what did meeting with the Lord do to David? What did David say after a lifetime of encountering the Lord over and over and over again? When you look into Psalm 23, David has 3 personal confessions. He wants to tell us his testimony of meeting with the Lord. Look at verse 1. David says, "I shall not want." He adds a second confession in verse 4. He says, "I will fear no evil." And then if you go down to verse 6, he adds a third personal confession. He says, "I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David says, this is what it means for me to encounter the living Lord. And so look at verse 1, look at verse 4 and verse 6. What do you make of these words that David says to us? I mean, as you pore over them, it's obvious that these are boldly confident words. There are no ifs or maybes or possiblys in David's words. He only uses wills and shalls. He's confident. And these are even more deeply personal words. Look at the grammar. David is speaking from the heart, and he only uses the first person singular. I. This is what I know. This is what I am saying. This is what I have experienced in the Lord. They are even more profound words. For David speaks about the most pressing matters of life. He is talking about his wants. He is talking about his fears. He's talking about dangers, and he is looking into his future. These are the sort of things that keep you up at night with worry and panic. These are the sorts of things that you say, I need to go talk to someone and get some counsel because I need some help with these things. I can't handle them. And here is David in these 3 verses with these 3 personal confessions, and he is saying to us, all of these things are settled for me. They're all settled. And there's something else about these words of David that I must tell you. These are words for the people of God. David wrote these words down, and he passed them along to Israel so that Israel would take these words up and they would speak them to the Lord with their own mouths. These are words for us. And so if you have met with the Lord Jesus, if you have encountered him in your life, you should be able to say, I shall not want, I will fear no evil, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I mean, David is just teaching us how to speak about living with and meeting with Jesus. He's teaching us. And so these words are so important, and we should ask, well, what do they mean if I'm going to make them my own like David wants us to make them our own? So look at verse 1 again. David says, his first personal confession, I shall not want. As we think about it, want is such a tricky word in English. We all have wants. We have so many of them. We're constantly thinking about our wants. I want a good meal. I want a peaceful night of sleep. I want a week off of work. I want a couple extra $1,000 in my bank account. We have want after want after want. And to go too far in this direction, I think, would be to misunderstand David. He is not talking in verse 1 about the cessation of your desires. He is talking about something different. He is talking about the sufficiency of his Lord, and that this Lord provides adequate provision for him. David actually borrows this word in verse 1, wants, from a story in the Bible. If you go to Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7, we find the voice of the Lord speaking up, and the Lord is recounting the wilderness journey that Israel had as they wandered for 40 years. And the Lord says this, these 40 years the Lord your God has been with you, you have lacked, or we could say you have wanted nothing. What does that mean? How can the Lord say that to his people? Well, it means this. Manna came from the heavens. Meat fell from the sky. Water was opened up from the rock. These people had no lack. Sure, if you read the story of the wilderness generation, they had all sorts of desires, sinful desires. But in the Lord and in his generous provision, as he came to them, they had all that they needed in their sufficient God. One translator comes to verse 1 in Psalm 23 and paraphrases the verse like this, and I think this gets the point across so clearly. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. What more do I need? The issue of whether I desire things beyond that is beside the point. I have the shepherd." And so David says in verse 1, "I shall not want." He adds his second personal confession in verse 4, and he says, "I will fear no evil." Now, verse 4 is not tricky at all because we understand fear. We get it well. There are so many fearful things in this world that cause us to fear so much. And we get the emotion. We get panic and dread and anxiety. We know what it's like to stay up all night afraid. We are a people who know fear. But David comes in verse 4 and he says, "I'm not going to fear." He's going to encounter evil and he says, "I'm not going to fear it." In fact, he had encountered so much evil in his life. You just recount all of the scenes of David's life. There David is running and fleeing in the hills of Judea from a manic king. You see David running for his life from his son who is filled with anger and vengeance, wanting to kill him. You can imagine David as a youth. He is keeping the sheep and he is facing lions and bears out there by himself in the wilderness. Or you can think of that most pivotal story in his life where he faces the giant all by himself. And David knew this. He knew evil. He knew all the trouble that it comes with. And after meeting with the Lord, he was able to say, "I am not going to fear. Whatever happens, I am not going to panic. I am not going to fret. I am not going to worry. It doesn't matter the evil or the misfortune that is going to come my way in my life. I will not fear." And then David adds one more personal confession in verse 6. He says, "I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And this personal confession is all of faith. For what David is wanting here and hoping is something that he did not have. If you can remember his life, David had this great desire to build a house for the Lord his God, but that house was never built during his lifetime. He never knew what it was like to truly dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So here is David in verse 6, and he is displaying this incredible faith. He is looking into the future, and he sees this destination, and his destination is this. He is going to be near his Lord. He is never going to be distant from his Lord, and he is going to be near his Lord forever. He's envisioning a life that does not end with the Lord. For David, in verse 6, his future, what it will look like, what it will mean, is all settled. He is going to be with the Lord. And so David is coming to us and he says, "Can you hear my personal confession? I shall not want. I will fear no evil. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And here we are on Easter morning, and as I'm looking at these three verses, I want these verses to be on my lips today and forever. I want to be able to speak with faith. I want to be able to speak with bold confidence. I want to be able to speak from the depths of my heart these very words. And this should be our spiritual ambition as a people, as a church, that when we come to these three verses, we would be able to speak like David. "Oh, I've got this confidence. I've got this desire in my heart. I have this boldness of soul. I shall not want. I will fear no evil. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. This should be our spiritual ambition. And so we ask the personal question, the question of application. We see what David's saying about his Lord, and we say, well, how can I speak like that? I mean, how does that happen for David? How can that happen for me? Because I want to live a life without fear. I want to live a life with a God who can provide for me. I want to have confidence about the future. How does this happen? Do you remember the story from John chapter 12? It's an incredible story. Jesus is doing his ministry, and in the course of his ministry, a group of Greeks are on the search for Jesus. And they can't get near Jesus right away, and so they seek out one of Jesus' disciples, a man by the name of Philip, and they say these words to Philip, and John records them in chapter 12, verse 21. They say this, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." And I think John chapter 12, verse 21 unlocks the secret of Psalm 23 to us. The only way you can speak like David is to meet the Lord that David had met with. The only way to get this kind of confidence is you need to have an appointment with Jesus. You need to see him and encounter him. And so let me state this clearly and plainly. The greatest need of your life, you just list them off. At the top of the list is this, to meet with Jesus, to encounter Jesus. And some of you have never encountered the Lord Jesus. You've never actually met the living Lord. And my desire this morning, with the time that I have left, is to introduce you to Jesus. And the good news is this, Jesus is in Psalm 23. You can hear his voice here. And for some of you, you have met Jesus before. You have really and truly met him. But if you are being honest with yourself this morning, you might have to say something like this. I know I have met Jesus. I know I have encountered him. I've heard his voice before. But I haven't met with him in so long. I feel distant and far away from him. And here's the truth of the Christian life. As Christians, it is so easy to be distant from Jesus. And our need then is to be always reacquainted with the living Lord, to get near him again. And let me tell you the good news. Jesus is here with us this morning. He is in the text of Scripture for you. And so come with me to Jesus. Listen to Psalm 23, and you will meet him. Look at verse 1. David is coming to us, and he is speaking to us of his Lord. He tells us this, "The Lord is my shepherd." I love how David works here. In the first verse of this psalm, he is quick to identify the Lord to us. He has come to know his Lord in a very specific sort of way. The Lord is a shepherd. And David is telling us, I know this about the Lord. He has taken up this vocation. And what is the vocation of the Lord? It is the vocation of keeping sheep. And as David names this, he counts this as a good thing. I mean, just listen to David. You can get this sense about him. He is saying, the Lord is my shepherd. David is saying, this is my spiritual comfort, perhaps the greatest spiritual comfort of my life. The Lord is my shepherd. And everyone who has met with the Lord has this appetite for the shepherd. Everyone who has met with the Lord starts to speak about the shepherd with great affection. You think of the prophet Isaiah. He was looking forward to the shepherd, and he spoke like this. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Or you think of the prophet Micah. He had met his shepherd, and he knew that his shepherd had a great work to do. And so as he's looking into the future, he was pinning all of his hope on a coming shepherd. He prophesied this, speaking of the shepherd. He shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. And this should thrill our hearts on Easter morning. For when the Lord Jesus appears incarnate in history, what does he do? He identifies himself, he reveals himself with David's words from verse 1 of Psalm 23. Jesus comes to you this morning and he speaks, assuring you of who he is and what he has come to do. John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." This is incredible. This is the living voice of Jesus. And when Jesus speaks these words saying, "I am the good shepherd," something amazing happens. When Jesus speaks like this, what happens? His sheep hear his voice. When Jesus speaks to his sheep, he comes to know them and they come to know him. When Jesus speaks, the sheep hear his voice, and the result of his voice is that they follow him. And when they follow him, they do just what David did in Psalm 23, verse 1. They start to speak like this: "The Lord is my shepherd." And so David has identified the Lord to us. The Lord is my shepherd. And as David is working in this psalm for our faith, he realizes that this is not enough just to identify the Lord. And so he draws us close to his shepherd. And what David is saying in this psalm is that this shepherd can be known intimately. So David turns from naming the shepherd's identity to giving us a description of the shepherd. And as you work through the rest of the psalm, David gives us a host of verbs. Verse 2, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." Verse 3, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Verse 4, "You are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me." Verse 5, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." David goes with verb after verb after verb, just listing them off. And as David describes his shepherd to us, he is communicating something important about this shepherd. This shepherd is an active shepherd. This shepherd is a shepherd who is on the move. There is no idleness in this shepherd. He seems to be always working, always doing everything. I mean, just try to put all of these verbs together and gain a picture of the work of the shepherd. We can start with this. The shepherd has a destination for his sheep. And because he has a destination for his sheep, he is going to get his sheep to that destination. He knows what path the sheep need to walk on, the paths of righteousness, and he is going to make sure with everything that he has that his sheep stay on the paths of righteousness so they get to their destination. And during all of this traveling, the shepherd provides for his sheep because he knows his sheep. This is incredible. He knows everything about his sheep. He knows what they need. And so what does he do as they travel? He brings them into lush meadows where they can feed. In wilderness places, what does he do? He finds oases full of restful water that they might come and drink and have life. The shepherd, he has both rod and staff. With his rod, he can drive off those who threaten his sheep. He can protect his sheep. And with his staff, he can reach out and he can direct and redirect his sheep as they wander off the path. Note this, the shepherd, in all of this traveling, accompanies his sheep wherever they go. Even into the darkest and most dangerous valleys, the valley of the shadow of death. Here he is with his sheep. He does not hire out this work to someone else saying, this is too difficult for me. Why don't I hire someone? This is too straining for me. Someone else can come and take the sheep through this valley. Oh, he doesn't pass off the work. He is with his sheep always. And such is the work of this shepherd that David begins to stray from the pasture and he begins to use images and metaphors from a banquet scene. The shepherd comes and what does he do for his sheep? He spreads out a table and he takes the time and he expends the resources so that he might welcome and celebrate and feed his sheep. And here, as the shepherd does this, he attends to his sheep guest. He perfumes the head of his sheep with oil. He gives his guest a cup, and he fills it and refills it so much so that the cup overflows with blessing. And David is saying, as I look at my shepherd, the generosity of my shepherd knows no bounds and has no limits. And for David to experience all of these different verbs is life-changing. David experiences the care of the shepherd. He sits at the shepherd's table and he says, verse 3, what is it like to be with the shepherd? He says, he restores my soul. David goes on in verse 4, he says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. To be with this shepherd, to receive his ministries, to find strength when you are desperately weak. It's to gain joy and hope when you are destitute of all emotion. It is to experience love and concern when you have been left to yourself and your own resources for such a long time. David says, he restores my soul. Oh, his care, his rod and staff, they comfort me. And when you start to think about David's words, all of these verbs, it becomes quite obvious as to what David is doing. What is David doing? He is preaching to us the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, ask yourself, what is it that we do for Jesus as Christians? Ask yourself, what is it that Jesus needs from me? What is it that I provide to Jesus? You look into Psalm 23, and the answer is so clear, nothing. And let me ask you even further, how will you make it to your destination, that is, eternal life? How will you make it through the barren wilderness of this present age? How will you endure trial and trouble, distress and discouragement? How are you going to pass through someday the valley of the shadow of death? As the years go by, how will you find adequate provisions of strength and grace for your soul? Oh, there are so many questions to ask, and we need to be asking them. Why? Because we are just sheep. And the truth of the gospel is this: the sheep need their shepherd. They need all of him. They need every verb that David gives us in Psalm 23. And so listen to the living voice of the shepherd speak. Jesus comes in John chapter 10, verse 11, and he clarifies everything that David is saying in Psalm 23. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So how has Jesus cared for us and led us and provisioned us and protected us? What is the work of the shepherd principally? It is this: he has given up his life for his sheep, for you. And because of this self-offering, the Lord Jesus, he lifts up his voice and he gives to all of his sheep a sure promise. This is gospel truth. John chapter 10, verse 28. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Behold the shepherd in his work. And so David in Psalm 23 has told us so much about his Lord. We could just recount it. He has told us the identity of the Lord. The Lord is his shepherd. And then he comes to us with joy, and he describes the work of the shepherd with all of these verbs. He makes me lie down. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. He is with me. His rod and staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table. He anoints my head with oil, verb after verb. And David, as we come to the end of this psalm, has one more thing to say to us. And I think this last thing that David has to say to us might be the very most important thing that David has to say to us about knowing Jesus. He says, verse 6, "Surely, I am convinced of this, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." It's easy to think abstractly here. It's easy to think of goodness and mercy as some sort of heavenly substance, like ounces and liters of grace coming to us somehow, some way. But that is to get the whole thing wrong. What are these words? David says, surely goodness and mercy. Surely goodness and steadfast love. These words are character traits. They are virtues possessed by a living person. David isn't talking about a substance in verse 6. He is talking about the heart of his shepherd. When David looks upon his shepherd, all that he sees in his shepherd is goodness and mercy. All that he sees in his shepherd is steadfast love and kindness. And David comes in this last verse and gives us this remarkable image. It's like David is traveling in his path and he turns and looks over his shoulder and he says, "Oh my. All that I can see behind me is the heart of my shepherd." David looks behind him and he realizes this profound truth. The shepherd is after me. He is coming for me. He aims to subdue me and have me, all of me for himself. And he comes for me with his goodness and his mercy. I mean, what a way to think about the Lord Jesus. This is how we should think about our Savior. What is Jesus doing with you right now in your life? What is he after? What is he seeking to do with you day after day, month after month, year after year? Here's the truth David is saying. He is saying he is after you. His aim is to subdue you. And how is he going to have you, all of you, for himself? He does it by pursuing you with his goodness and his mercy. And when we come to know the shepherd, we understand our lives so differently. You're going along in your life and you look up at your rearview mirror. And as you look at that mirror, you see behind you, "Oh, there's my shepherd. He's coming for me. And I can see how he's coming for me. He's coming for me with his steadfast love and with his mercy. And I am convinced of this because I know the heart of my shepherd. He will have me and subdue me. And oh, I long for Christ to have me. I long for him to overtake me with his goodness and his mercy." And that's how David ends this remarkable psalm. "Surely, I am convinced of this, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." So I hope you can see why David spoke as he did. I hope you can see why David spoke in verse 1 and verse 4 and verse 6 as he did. "I shall not want, I will not fear, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David spoke like this because he encountered the living Lord. And so know this, believe this, you can encounter David's shepherd. And this is glorious. The shepherd's words are before you in Psalm 23. In fact, we can go further. You have been this morning listening to the voice of Jesus. He is here with us by virtue of his Spirit and his word. And because he is here with us, he is working, he is leading, he is providing, he is restoring, he is comforting, he is pursuing us. Just turn your head and look over your shoulder. Jesus is here, and he's coming to have you. And let me say this. What does David do in Psalm 23? It's like David comes to us as this happy host and he says, dear reader, welcome to Jesus. Welcome to my Lord. This is what he is like, top to bottom, inside and out. And I think after meeting with Psalm 23 and hearing David, I think David would come to us this morning and I think he would say this. Can I ask you this? Have you encountered my Lord, my shepherd? Have you met him on the path? Have you experienced his care and his love and concern? Do you know him? Have you encountered his heart? And so I pray this morning that you have met with Jesus. And if you have met with Jesus, I urge you this Easter Sunday, speak up with David and say like David says in verse 1, the Lord, he is my shepherd. And as you make that confession, go on this Easter Sunday and with great gladness say to Jesus, I shall not want. You are my sufficient shepherd. I will fear no evil and I will not fear anything because I know you are with me and your promises are always true. And say these words of faith because we have to speak them with faith just like David did. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I know Jesus will keep me and get me to eternal life. Would you pray with me? Oh, Father, we need the words of your Son. We desperately need them. And we have heard them this morning. And Father, we pray, would that word go to work on our hearts? Father, would you turn all sadness into joy? Would you turn fear into confidence? And would you do this because of the voice of your Son? We love his voice. We treasure his voice. And Father, we ask now that you would pour out on us obedience, that we would follow Jesus wherever he goes. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.